Well, it's nice to be along with you tonight and to share in your youth fellowship. It's not very often I get an opportunity to speak to so many young people, not at the one time anyway, and it was good. And the challenge was handed out to me was I was given my subject. It's not very often I'm given my subject either, but my subject tonight was anger and bitterness. And, well, I suppose in a sense, coming from where I come from, in North Belfast, I live in the peace line between the upper and the lower Ardoyne, and there's a lot of bitterness and there's a lot of anger there with people. I live among a people who are very angry and who are very, very bitter. And just hearing the police, I don't know where you heard the news about the policeman there, and he says he was very angry and the people in Ardoyne were very angry. And anger's a thing that, well, I think we all know a wee bit something about. But before I go any further, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. And the Scripture tonight is taken from the Old Testament. It's taken from the Old Testament, and it's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Before we read, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the open Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together tonight and to read your Word. And we pray that the Spirit of God will take the things of God and apply them to all of our hearts and to all of our lives. Help us, Father, tonight, we pray, for help is needed. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we'll read the first 14 verses. The first 14 verses. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that was Samuel, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself off the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tarbits, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyes David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over a thousand. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. I said Samuel there. It wasn't Samuel, it was Saul. But anyway, in this little portion of scripture here, we read about David and we read about Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul was somebody who the Lord had put his hand upon to be king over Israel. And in this little portion of scripture here, we are reading how David was a man after God's own heart, and he was to take the place of Saul. And Saul didn't accept it too well. And you know, even when we think of ourselves, when somebody is chosen before us, or maybe somebody replaces us, you know, how do we handle these things? There's so many things that can come into our lives that bring anger into our hearts and into our lives. I've already said, living in North Belfast, I was brought up in a place which knew much anger and knew much bitterness. And you know, when we're in our unsaved days, it's something that we just get on with and we don't care much about. But whenever you come to know the Lord, yet anger is something that really shouldn't be there. It really shouldn't be there. And in this little portion of scripture here, Saul was very, very angry. It tells us there in that little verse 8, and Saul was very wroth. He was very wroth. He allowed anger to come into his heart. He allowed bitterness to come into his heart. He allowed these things to sweep into him because somebody was preferred before him. He realized the people said, David has slain his tens of thousands and Saul his thousands. And this displeased him, and anger came in. And I just want us tonight to look at four things. Whenever I started looking at this subject, I started off with 8 points, but I've cut it down to 4 tonight, and I'll keep you. I see you fixed the clock, so I'll not be too late. 4 points. You know we are getting off after the 4th point. Junction 4. You're getting off at junction 4. The first thing is the cause of anger and bitterness. Now we all know that we are born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and it's not too long until we go through life that we feel anger. But here was somebody who was the chosen of God. Here was somebody who was the king of Israel. What happened to him? What happened to Saul that he allowed bitterness and anger to come into his heart? You know, we all need to be warned tonight. And I just want us to notice a few things about Saul tonight. I want us to notice a few things about what happened to him. The first thing I want us to notice there, we read about it in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 12. Samuel says to Saul, wait 7 days. The enemy was coming in. Everybody was starting to panic. The people were starting to hide. Fear had gripped their hearts. And here in verse 12 it says, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. The first thing that happened to Saul was that he forced himself. He forced himself to do something that it wasn't his responsibility to do. Samuel says, wait. Saul says, I'm not going to wait. And he forced himself. And you know, sometimes when we force ourselves into things, that's when the problems start. We force ourselves to do something. Maybe temptation comes, and we force ourselves into that situation. This is the first thing we read here, that Saul, he forced himself to do something that it wasn't his responsibility. And we need to be careful about that one. We need to be careful as Christians that we don't force ourselves to do things. The second thing I'll notice about Saul. We read about it in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 9. Verse 15 and verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and of all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile, and refused, that they destroyed utterly. You see, Samuel told him to pass judgment upon the Amalekites. Everything was to be destroyed. But Saul, he kept the best of the flocks. He kept Agag the king. And there you see, what he was doing was, he was fighting for himself. He was fighting for himself. He wasn't fighting for the Lord. The Lord told him what to do. He didn't do it. He was fighting for himself. And now you see, when you start fighting for yourself, and when you start looking for your own glory, then you're walking on sinking sand. And you see, there's a lot going on today where people are fighting for themselves. They want to see their name. They want to see their things brought to the fore. They're looking for the pat on the back. And you hear, you see, Saul was looking for the pat on the back. He was fighting for himself. So not only did he force himself, but he fought for himself. And then, whenever you go on to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 8, we read there something else he did. And Saul was very wroth, and the same displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed unto David tens of thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom?" You see, there's something else Saul was doing. He was focusing on himself. "Oh, poor me." That's what he was saying. "Oh, poor me. Everybody's turned against me. Everybody's coming against me. There they're all shouting for David. And what about poor me?" And you see, there he was focusing on himself. He was allowing, you see, the situation that he had brought about himself, you see, to come and allow anger and bitterness to come into his heart. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21, we read something else. Then said Saul, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." You see, he forgave himself. He realized that he had committed sin. It doesn't tell you that he went for forgiveness for sin. He realized that sin had come in. What he was doing was wrong, but yet he failed to do anything about it. And it's so easy, dear friends, to forgive ourselves, isn't it? It's so easy for us to turn round and to forgive ourselves and to think that this is all right. But it wasn't all right, you see. You see, he needed to know the forgiveness of God. And that's the thing he wasn't willing to push for. And then in 1 Samuel 28 and verse 7, it tells us there, "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor." We all know the story. He went to the witch of Endor. You see, there he forgot himself. You see, Saul, one of the first things that he did, he would put all witches out. They were banned. They were barred. They weren't allowed in. One of the things he did, he'd done away with witchcraft and anybody that was involved in it. But now, you see, he's looking. He's looking for somebody with a familiar spirit, because God had stopped speaking to him. And you see, when sin comes into the heart and life, dear, Friends, tonight you realize that there is that parting from God. There is that separation from God. You see, He has gone now from sitting on the throne of Israel, from being king, He has gone now where He is now looking for the witch of Endor. And the final thing, dear friends, that He did tonight, we read about it there in 1 Samuel 31 and verse 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through where therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. He fell on himself. Instead of falling on the mercy of God, he fell on himself. And there you see the danger of allowing anger and bitterness to come. Even as believers tonight, here we have somebody tonight who allowed it to completely take him over. And you know, we need to be very careful tonight. You see, anger and bitterness. Somebody does something on us and we allow it to happen. Somebody hurts us. Somebody takes something from us. Somebody says something to us. Anger and bitterness. You see, the cause of anger and bitterness, you see, started with Saul when he departed from God. The second thing I want us to notice is the company of anger and bitterness. You see, anger and bitterness, you see, they're not alone. They're not alone. You know, there's a lot of things that go along with anger and bitterness. If you were to turn around and you've just anger, you see. But you see, anger's not alone. We read about it there in Ephesians 4 and verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You see, the devil loves to strike anger and bitterness into the heart. You see, here is behind it, you see. Here the warning is that not to let the sun go down. Means not to go to your bed without, if the opportunity is there of putting it right. Keep short accounts with God. And it says there, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him that labor worketh with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You see, when anger's there, then you see the tongue's let loose. But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when anger comes in, all his mates come in along with him. All his friends come in with him. The tongue is loose. You start saying things that you shouldn't say. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You start doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You're allowing things to crowd in. And you see, you end up, you lose your testimony. The cause of anger and bitterness, the company of anger and bitterness, the cost of anger and bitterness. There's a cost, you see. Whenever anger and bitterness comes in, you see it costs. Galatians 5 and 15 says there, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You see, it consumes us. That's what anger does. It consumes us. Saul was consumed Saul was consumed with David. I'm going to get rid of him. They're going to make him king. He's going to sit in my throne. He's going to sit in my chair. And it completely consumed him. The anger was so fierce with him, he couldn't think of anything else. Only David. 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 And you know, in our situation tonight, maybe you're here tonight and maybe anger is there with somebody. And all you can do is think about them. And all you can do is think about that situation and that thing that's going on. And it's consuming you. You wake up in the morning and it's there before you. You put your head down at night and it's there before you. You're going through the day and all you can do is think about it. And it consumes. Takes over. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It corrupts. Corrupts everything. It corrupts your talk. It corrupts your going out and your coming in. It corrupts you whenever you go into anybody's company. You feel it and people see the change in you. It just corrupts. Everything you touch, it corrupts. You can't get away from it. It's there. And all you do is talk about it. Everybody you see, you're talking about it. So-and-so this and so that. Hebrews 12 and verse 8. Hebrews 12 and verse 8 says there, but if ye be without chastity, or 12 and verse 8, sorry, 15, 12 and verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. It changes you, dear friends. I know it changes you. Changes you. And in Luke 23 and verse 39, Luke 23, the story about the two thieves on the cross. The two thieves, dear friends, that was there upon the cross. You see, there, even as the Lord was upon the cross, 23 and verse 39. And he came out and went out as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And verse 39 says, and one of the malefactors which was hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You see, it condemns us. The thief on the cross, he railed on the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he had anger in his heart. Because all he wanted to do was to get down off the cross and to just carry on doing the things that he was doing before. And you know, dear friends, tonight, there's a cost. There's a cost for anger and bitterness. It consumes us. It corrupts us, it changes us, it condemns us. It's a terrible thing, you know. Brings me to my last point. The cause of anger and bitterness, the company of anger and bitterness, the cost of anger and bitterness, the cure of anger and bitterness. Thank God tonight there's a cure. Thank God tonight there's a cure for anger and bitterness. I was a very angry person, you know. I was a very bitter person. I would go as far as to say I was a very bitter Protestant. I didn't like my neighbours over the other end of the barricade, and I'm sure they didn't like me. There was anger and there was bitterness there. They said horrible things, and they said horrible things back. There was years and years of my life, there was nothing but anger. There was nothing but bitterness there. But then there's the cross, you see. And you see, Somebody, I just forget her name now, and she sings a lovely piece, Calvary covers it all. You see, Calvary can take away anger, can take away bitterness. It can take away those things, dear friends, tonight. You see, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, if there was anybody that was entitled to be bitter, it should have been him. Look what they did to him. They whipped him. They mocked him. They nailed him to a cross. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. It says his face was marred more than any man's. And there as he was hanging and bleeding and dying upon that cross, everybody fled from him. And if there was anybody should have had anger, if there was anybody should have been bitter, it should have been the Lord Jesus. But Isaiah 53 says, he opened not his mouth. He cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when we look at the light of Calvary, and when we look at the light of the love of God with his Son bleeding and dying upon that cross, there is our example, and there is our cure for anger and bitterness. And when you come to the cross, and when you truly repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, you see, he'll take away anger and bitterness. He'll take it away. The cross, Calvary, covers it all. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son tonight, cleanses us from all sin. You see, the cross. But there has to be something else, you see. There has to be confession. We need to confess it. There's no need, dear friends, tonight to hide it. There's no need to hide it, and there's no need tonight to say about anger and bitterness, well, I have it under control. You haven't it under control. You haven't. You see, it's like a volcano building up inside you. And somewhere along the road of life, a situation will come about and you'll explode. You'll explode. It'll all come out. You see, if it's in, it'll come out. If it's in, it'll come out. And you see, there has to be confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to confess that it's a problem. We need to do that. I needed to do that. You need to do that. And then there's cleansing. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, dear friends, tonight, then we need compassion. You know, when the old sin question is dealt with in the heart, there needs to be compassion. I remember to my shame, I used to live in North Belfast, and most of my life was spent doing the double. I always did the double. It was give you through the benefits, you see, and then you went and you done a wee bit of work on the side. And when I went on to a job, and I walked into the tea hut at 10 o'clock to my shame, if I had heard anybody in that shed or in that hut, wherever it was I went, and it was from the other side, I lifted my piece, my bag, and I went home. My wife will tell you. And she'd say to me, what's wrong in your home? I say the other sort's in there. I wouldn't work with them. Wouldn't go anywhere near them. You see, whenever I met with the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, whenever I got saved, the first job that I got was a legal job with a housing executive. Now, you maybe say, well, it wasn't much of a job, the housing executive. But listen, I worked with a housing executive. And they put me along with this fella, and I didn't know whenever I was put along with this fella who he was. But anyway, the two of us went out in our first job together, and we could talk, and do you know where he came from? He came from the other end of the barricade, Jamaica Street. You probably heard about it on the news. They found a rocket there the other day. That's where he came from. And as I'm standing there, working along with this fella, I was telling him about Jesus. I was telling him his need to be saved. Why? Because God had met with me and taken away the anger and the bitterness that was in my heart and life. I was born again of the Spirit of God. And you see, you need to have compassion. You see, the reason is, dear friends, because they're poor lost souls. And if God has forgiven us, ought we not to forgive others? Anger and bitterness. There's an awful lot said about it. Abraham Lincoln said this about anger and bitterness. He said this. He says, whenever I was angry and whenever I was bitter about a thing, he says, I used to sit down and I used to write two letters. The first letter I would write, he says, would be a letter about what I would love to say to that person. The things that I would like to say. You know what it's like yourself. Sometimes if you're married here and somebody does something on you and you'd say to the wife, or the wife would say to the husband, whenever I see this person, I'm just gonna tell them what I think. And then whenever you come home and says, well, what happened? You say, no, no. He wrote this letter, and the letter he wrote what he would like to say. And then he wrote another letter which was compassionate. A letter that showed love and compassion. And he took the letter of what he would like to have said, and he burned it. And you see, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to take the anger and the bitterness out of our hearts. You know why? Because he knows it'll be like a volcano inside us. And if it erupts, and if the anger comes out, and the bitterness comes out, dear friends, lose your testimony. And you see here this king, Saul. Do you know what he did? He spent his whole life, well, most of it anyway, his life in bitterness and anger towards David. David, what did he do? Well, it tells us there in verse 14, and it says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. That's the secret. The Lord. The Lord. You see, dear friends, there's not a thing in our heart and our life tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can't cleanse. He can take away anger, he can take away bitterness, and he can give you a testimony that'll speak to other people through your life. Anger and bitterness. It's destroyed a many's a one. It destroyed Cain. There away back in Genesis. Whenever he met with his brother Abel out there in the field. I wonder what he said. I wonder what it was going on in the conversation that we're having. Maybe Abel was giving him the gospel. Maybe he was telling them the sacrifice he needed to bring to God. And he didn't like it. And it ended up murder. Why? Because anger and bitterness were there. But dear friends, tonight, there's a cure. And the cure is in the Lord Jesus Christ.